Lip-smacking good. Hi, everybody out there. This is another episode of Lip-smacking Good. Well, the motto of this show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. I have a special guest for you guys. I have Montorius K from the podcast Beating the Block. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody, Montorius.
Yo, what a time, my damies. I'm glad Miss Karen asked me to be on this show, man. This is good to be here. Good to be here, man. Oh, can't wait to talk about some barbecuing and whatnots and this, that, and the others.
Yes, yes. And tell everybody who may be hearing your voice for the first time how to get in contact with your podcast.
Okay. I'm one half of the Beating the Block podcast. As me and my boy Cyber Soldier, a.k.a. Kevo. We do a weekly show. We try to be weekly most of the time. And that's beatingtheblock.com. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher. Anywhere you get your podcast aggregated, we're there. You know, we do a lot of agreeing and disagreeing and all of that. So, and it is. You know, we just some old Houston dudes. And that's our perspective on most of that stuff. So, there it is.
Yes, I got somebody from Texas. So now I want to talk about your cooking. You do a lot of cooking. I follow you on Facebook and Instagram, and I see all this cooking, the slow cookers and all that stuff, the smokers and all that stuff. Whatever inspired you to do this?
Well, I mean, we came up with that. My big daddy, he did it. That's grandfather for some of y'all. You know, I'm country. He called it Big Daddy. So Big Daddy did it. My dad did it. I went off to the Navy and missed it. I came back home and said, I'd be damned if I don't do it. So got me a smoker. You got getting that wood right and getting that meat right. And there it is.
When it comes to, let's say somebody's a rookie. They don't know anything about it. What would you suggest is the best, I guess, product? Because you have to start with your with the actual item itself before you get to anything else. What would you recommend for somebody that's want to start?
First and foremost, whatever you cooking it in, you want to get that right. Now, they got different kind of, you know, because I primarily smoke the meat.
Okay.
You know, there's a difference between barbecuing, grilling, and smoking.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Grilling, that's that, you know, you put the little charcoals in the thing and you flipping it right over the fire and
right.
All that. That's grilling. Barbecuing is offset. So the fire ain't directly on it. And that's really, that goes right on into smoking too. Smoking take a few hours.
Okay.
So, depending on how you want to cook it. Now, I prefer to smoke what I cook, unless it's like burgers or a steak or something. I slap that right on the fire, you know, grill that. But ribs, brisket, you know, chicken, all that type of thing, you want to have the right apparatus. And they got pellet grills where they use like pellets you buy from the store, but it's all offset. The heat is not directly on the meat.
Okay. Oh, okay. So
that's the main part of smoking.
Okay. So do they have it where, cause they almost look like I want to call it like a half of a oil can almost. Cause you kind of
because that's
the kind that I'm used to. So inside of that, you have heat on one side and you have your meat on the other side. So you're saying that like it's non-direct like that, or is it set up a little differently?
Set up a little different.
Okay.
That there, they got those in our grocery store. You can go to the regular grocery store, they sell them one of them for like 50, 60 bucks.
Oh, but you're talking about that.
Little oil pan thing cut.
Right.
Great in it. But to get like a smoker, there's a firebox that's offset to the side and down a little bit.
Oh.
And the major cooking area is off and up.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You put your wood or your charcoal, however you want to do it, you put that in the firebox. Heat that up, and that heat, it propagates through the cooking area. So it's indirect, so that keeps the juices in the meat, you know, so you don't puncture it and you don't lose none of the juice, and it's just It's massaging it, more or less.
Oh. Okay, okay, okay. So it's the ones where you have, like, the main one, then you have, like, a little small one.
And right.
Okay, I seen those before. So it's, like, almost like two separate units?
Yeah, but they just weld it together.
Okay, okay.
And you put all your heating agent in the smaller one, and you put what you're cooking in the big one. And so, you know, you want to monitor the heat, but that's what you do. And I've gotten to the point where I don't use so much charcoal. I use charcoal to start the fire, but I get my wood right.
Those are the chips. What they call the chips?
No, I get actual logs.
Okay.
Yeah, depending on where you go. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure they do that where you at too, up there in North Carolina. You go on the side of the road, you got somebody selling firewood.
All the time. It's like,
I see it. Yeah, I know anywhere in the South, you're going to get that. Yeah. And so, you put on the side of the road, man, what you got, man? I got some mesquite, I got some pecan, some oak, hickory, whatever. It's like, man, whatever you like to smoke with, they all different woods have, they put different flavor into the meat. So the way I do it, I'm a pecan oak guy.
Okay.
So I get my wood from the side of the road, throw it back in the truck, logs, like little chunks of logs. I don't even get chips. Now, when I first started, I got chips because I ain't know no better.
Okay, does the log give you more flavor than the chips, or?
The log, yes. Matter of fact, yeah. Because the log is your actual source of heat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Once you get the log on fire, that log is cooking the meat.
Okay.
And the smoke coming from the log is giving it a certain flavor. Now chips, people, you use chips when you're using charcoal to get a hint of it.
Okay.
You know, it's like a it's like an accent. It accents the charcoal. When you using the actual log, you getting all of that on there. So that's how I do it.
You said it takes a while, but how long does it take? Oh, does it depend on what you're cooking?
It depends on what you're cooking. Like if you get you a slab of ribs. Oh, did I hit something? Oh no, we good.
Mm-hmm.
You get you a slab of ribs. You could do that in about 3-4 hours.
Okay.
5 tops. When that meat start pulling away from the edges of that bone, that's when you know that rib right. that bone get to looking all white and the meat get to like slide toward the inside. It's like, oh yeah, that's going to be some good ribs there. And brisket is, man, I know, especially here in Texas, that's a thing. If you gonna barbecue, you gonna smoke something, you better know how to do you a brisket.
Brisket is a tougher piece of meat, isn't it?
It's very, yes, it is. And it takes longer to cook. The best ones I've had taking about 10 hours.
Wow.
So usually I light off midnight, especially like on a football day, because games here come on around noon. So by midnight, I like that fire off, get that brisket on there, and you put that bad boy away from the fire as far as you can get it. I try to have a fire on about 350, right up in there. And if you can just maintain that, it's work, because you can go to sleep. I mean, you don't have to be on top of it, but you got to maintain that heat.
So
that makes it, man, when you cut it, it starts falling apart with the knife. As soon as you cut it, it's like, oh, that's good when it falls apart like that. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. And how about chicken?
Chicken. See, I make drunk chicken.
Okay, what's that?
That's when you stuff that beer can up the chicken's ass.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that. Oh, we call that's it beer butt names, chicken.
Yeah, beer butt chicken, drunk chicken, beer chicken. People call it all kind of stuff. We call it drunk chicken. I got some stands for it. I got some little cans, and I pour it. You can pick whatever kind of beer you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to get fancy, use some of that whatever that was you had. You know, throw it in there, and season your chicken up. Put the whole chicken on there, and then let that smoke hit it for about 3-4 hours. 3 hours, more than 4. Now, you get to getting 4, you probably going to burn it. But yeah, and that's some of the most succulent chicken. You know, people, you know, when I make it, half the time we don't even cut it up. They just be pulling right off that bad boy, sitting on the stand. And yeah, that goes down.
Ooh, have you ever been in any competitions?
No, I haven't. Because I ain't that confident in my craft yet. I'm still, in the big scheme of things, I'm still new to it, I think.
Okay.
And I'm still working stuff out. Because sometimes I make I barbecue something and I won't like it at all. I'm like, man, I messed up on this one. I ain't do something right. But a lot of that is the seasoning and the wood I use. So I've been a pecan guy because I came up eating pecans all the time.
Yes.
So pecan wood, shit, you know, we pick pecans and all that. That's so I was into that. That's I was familiar with that. Then I used oak one time. Like recently, I used oak, and that was some of the best stuff I ever had using oak. Messed my mind up. I was like, okay, man, I got to rethink this.
You thinking about using other woods just to
see?
Okay.
So now I'm coming up with a method of maybe mixing pecan and oak.
Ooh.
To see what happens with that. I don't know yet. So right now I'm still in the testing phases of that.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's the big thing.
That.
And I know this about barbecue. We talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say regional so much. I mean, it's mostly the South. We all got our own way of barbecuing.
Mm-hmm.
And even different parts of the South.
Right. Use different things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know Carolinas, y'all got y'all own kind of way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe like sauce and a mustard base.
Right. And some people don't use no sauce. And some people use vinegar. And some people use a tomato base. Yeah. It just depends on where. I think around here is more of that like a barbecue sauce.
Uh-huh.
And so even North Carolina is kind of split because you go to certain areas in North Carolina, it's a vinegar base.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And see, I'm still, I want to expand my horizons to be able to include all of that.
Right, because it's so good. I don't care how you make it. If it's good, I don't care.
If it's good, it's good.
Right.
You know,
barbecue,
so,
honey mustard, don't matter.
Here in Texas, one of the things we say is like, if you got to use sauce, you ain't doing it right. And that'll step on some toes, and I know that ain't always right.
Right, because I think more of it is what Texas is used to, because, you know, it's that motto, always bigger in Texas type of motto. And I think that if a sauce is good and the meat is good, it could be a wonderful
match.
It's
going to be out of sight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I had to get myself off of that because I was standing on that for a minute.
I don't blame you.
Ain't using no damn sauce. You ain't doing it right. You need some sauce. But I got to thinking, and they had a place out here that they were from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a barbecue shack. And I was like, you know what, man? Let me go and see what it's like before I be just talking down and all of that. And it was actually good. It was good. And I was like, you know what, man? Don't let my Texas pride get in the way of some good ass barbecue. And so, yeah. So everybody got their way of doing it, and I'm not gonna say that nobody's way is wrong.
Right. Because to me, when it comes to good food, it don't make a difference. And back to the motto of being better in Texas. Have you been to any of like the barbecue shows like you see on TV where they have like the competitions and things like that? Okay, how is that?
Every year in, I want to say it's February, we have the rodeo, Houston Livestock and Rodeo, right around the Astrodome and all of that. And it's a big ass competition. And even if you don't go into the area, you smell that shit for miles when you drive by it. Oh, it's some of the best stuff in the world. And, so I've been privy to some incidences, you know, cause I mean, it ain't no secret. Now I'm a police officer and I'd slide in, you know, flash the badge a little bit, be like, hey, shit, I'm just here to check out something. And I go around every Tasting Barbecue.
Yeah. They be like, and you want some?
They come around from everywhere. And it's only the only reason I could get in there is because I had that badge on.
Right.
But you got to pay money to get in there. And it's
people. But I bet it's worth every dime.
They from all over the place.
Wow.
And they got all their barbecue sitting out there. It's a big old ass con. That's when the rodeo first started. That's one of the first things that goes down is their barbecue competition. And it's like, man, you want to have you some good barbecue. Everybody bringing their A game.
I bet you they probably sell some of that stuff too, like the sauces and stuff that
make. They make their own sauce. They package it up. They have it sitting front and center when you walk up because it's tents. Everybody got their tents and their booze when you walk up. And so it's like, man, everybody, you know, if they got a business, man, they hawking their business. They got these big ass pits with their logos on them and, it's barbecue heaven. Barbecue heaven. They coming from everywhere. It ain't just no Texas thing when they come for that. They come from everywhere.
Wow. What is it about just the barbecue and the smoking process? It just makes you happy. Is it the process? Is it the meat? Like, what is that thing?
I gotta be honest. It's the process.
Okay.
It's the tradition. You get up, you light your fire. It's something about men and fire, I think. We just like looking at some fire. I don't know what that is. But I light me a fire up, and I stand there for 15 minutes looking at that fire like, man, it's finna be right. And, you know, once I get the wood in there and season that meat up, it's like, man. And then it's just become a ritual, you know. You even hear weed smokers talk about the ritual of rolling it and doing all that, right, which is probably better than the high. I don't know. I ain't never smoked no weed.
Me either, so don't feel bad. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the setting up of it. And so that's what it is with barbecue. It's like, man, you get the smell of the seasonings float through the house. You over there rubbing on it and getting all that stuff in there. And then once you get it on the fire, it's like that's the euphoria. It's like, not to make it sexual, but it's like foreplay is working on the meat.
Okay.
And once you get it on the fire, you about to climax at that point.
You're almost there.
Once you get it on the fire, it's like, ah, that's it. That's it. And then when you pull it off that pit and it's right, that's A1.
I see the pictures that you put on like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all over the place. Like,
yeah.
What you take these pictures after you've done like everything?
I tried to do like one of those before and after type things.
Mm-hmm. And some people like take the pictures through the process.
Yeah, I like to show the meat before I touch it. I like to show the seasoning part after I done what I gotta do, and then I like to show it on the pit halfway through smoking. And if I catch the picture right, you can see the smoke on top of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
If I catch one of those, I don't catch them often, but when I catch those, I'm like, that's a good ass picture. And then when you get ready to pull it off and it's done, that's like, I felt like I did something. You know, it's just a sense of accomplishment when that meat come off of there and it's right. You know, doing this show, man, just made me think, I really want to do this for a living.
That's why I was asking you, not trying to be funny. That's why I was asking you about.
Yeah, no, I just had this revelation.
A competition. And I was like, because I could see the happiness, because we're on Skype and we're doing video, y'all. And I could just, you light up, like trying to be funny. I could see the joy in your eyes. Like, like, that's why I was like, why don't you get in the competition? Like, because you're willing to put in the time, you're willing to put in the effort, you know. And also I think, when you love it like you love it, you'll start looking in the cuts of meat that normally don't need to be smoked. You'll start smoking it just to see, to see the process. You start doing vegetables, like you can do a lot with the smoker. It's just not meat based. You can do fish, right. like you can really, like, this is where my mind's going with it. You can really do some things. So that's why I was asking. And even, with all your pictures and things like that, you know, you could even get to the point to where you can actually do like an instruction where you're being videoed and put them online and things like that. Like, it's things out there, to be done, you know, and you have to think too, it's sponsors, you know, the products that you use, but like, hey, I'm using your product. Response to me, like, and people will pay. So
what up, slap your mama. I use a lot of slap your mama.
You know what? Next time we go to Charleston, because when we was at Charleston last time, we seen some, but we didn't really know what it was. The first time we ever heard of it, and we was joking about it. Mama? Right? That's we had never heard of it before.
I saw that you was eating crawfish right. for the first go. I saw that. And I was like, boy, and you asked how to eat it. I'm like, man, shit, I don't know how to do that.
I had no idea how to eat it.
But let me tell you this. I was married before, and my first wife was from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we got it in our head, Zoo Crawfish Ball, it's like, man, I can figure that shit out. I mean, Houston is full of that anyway, but I never cooked it. I've always been to crawfish balls coming up.
Okay. And,
I mean, you know, it's like, man, I don't want to work that hard to eat. You know, that was my thinking. But I mean, the culture here is like, you got a lot of transplants from Louisiana. They all through here. And so Houston got a whole lot of Creole in it, you know, just by default.
Okay.
And once I got old enough, man, I went and got some equipment. And I went on YouTube and I saw what they did to boil some crawfish. And, that's another thing along with barbecue. It's like, man, I love boiling the crawfish more than I love eating it.
Wow.
And I was getting a seal of approval from everywhere in Louisiana. Anybody come through there, you know, Lafayette, Lake Charles, you know, all that. It's like, man, that's some good ass crawfish. It's like, well, thanks, man. You know, appreciate it. Turkey necks in there and all that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Ooh,
yeah, that's another one. But when I saw you, and I was like, oh, look, Carolee eats crawfish.
Yeah, I would, you know, and I was so, because one thing about me, because my mama's really old school, I was a child that most parents would love to have. If you said it in front of me, I ate it. I was no complaint. Like I wasn't picky or anything like that as a kid. Mm-hmm. So my mama loved me, and my mama knew if I turned my nose up to it, she go,
it wasn't right.
Right. She go, baby, it either don't taste right or either you just don't like it. Mm-hmm. Like she knew it was, if I didn't touch, she knew it was serious. So we had went to this new place that opened up below us and they had crawfish and I ordered crawfish and I was like, shit, I don't know how the fuck to eat this, but I ordered like a bottle. So I was like, yeah, give me some crawfish. And I was like, goddamn.
See what it do.
Right. But it is delicious. I'm gonna have to get up with some people that actually know how to properly eat it, because it was our first time eating it. So, it was hot, really, really, really hot. So that's the thing. We're not used to eating it. So it's a messy meal and we didn't know. I wasn't trying to be pretty, but I didn't realize the process behind it, because they had like shrimp and they had these big ass shrimp that had like the eyeballs looking at you.
Yeah.
Them big shrimp. And those were easy. You popped the head off and you just peeled those. That was easy. But the crawfish was a little different. And so I learned to break the tail off.
There you go.
And crack the meat around it. I have to learn a better technique of cracking the meat, because, you know, I was kind of slow. It was my first time.
Around here, they'll tell you, like, no, you got to do it this way. No, you got to do it that way. It's like, man, just do it how it works.
Right, because I know some people probably got quicker techniques to crack it open. So, but I was my first time doing it. So, you know, me and my little gloves, we were just peeling along. Like, it's about to take us a long time, but we didn't care. I was just having myself a good time. And some people said suck the head. Some people said don't suck the head. I sucked the head because I had it was called like a drunken shrimp. Drunken crawfish. And he had like flaming shrimp, and you took it and you sucked the head and it was delicious.
Dang. Hey, but if anybody tell you don't suck the head, I think they just being funny. You're supposed to do that. That's part of it.
I think some people, they were saying that, I guess, depend on the sauce. It could be very salty for some people, like too salty.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what they were saying. They were saying for some people, they were saying that it's too salty. But for me, I did it in that one, and it was actually really, really, really good. Yeah. So I am branching out.
There you go.
and doing all kinds of things. Like for me, I love to eat, and I don't think people really understand how much I love to eat. It's nothing like a good meal for me.
Nothing.
You know, you can have all, you know, but it's nothing like you sitting down and it's a delicious meal. And I can tell, like, your love of food, honey, I can tell if you sat down and really invested time and sat down and honed your craft.
Yeah.
I can see you open up your own restaurant, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just that creative.
There's been times where I've smoked the brisket, some ribs, and boiled some crawfish. And this is what I want to caution you on, because we got a lot of this here in Houston too, cause they so crawfish crazy around here. Crawfish ain't in season right now.
Okay.
Okay. So crawfish season is springtime around Easter and all that.
Okay.
Up until the middle of June.
Okay.
That's crawfish season.
Okay.
At least coming from the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we got places around here sell your crawfish all year long. And, they coming from Asia, though.
Okay. They're not coming from the United States.
Yeah, they're not coming from here. They come from Asia. And so I caution people. And it's like, man, we fiend so hard for it that we sometimes get that shit a pass. And I'm like, I'm waiting.
Oh, because see, you know the season, they're the best
coming in that season.
Okay.
But don't get me wrong, get that experience when you can. If you don't do it usually, goddamn, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, because we're not in the water. Like, we're kind of landlocked here in Charlotte, so you kind of got to grind out down to Myrtle Beach or, you know, down to Charleston. Yeah. Like, you have to kind of leave this general area. Even though we have sushi and we do have fish here, but, you know, most of the product is all probably shipped in from the coast.
Yeah. Right on.
But it's different than you actually being on the coast, because we went to Charleston, and when I tell you, it's nothing like fish straight out the water.
Yeah, how I know. Yeah.
When we ate that, we was like, oh my God.
What I've been missing.
Right. Yeah. I was like, it's like, nah, I mean, seafood is good, but you can tell that it was like fresh. You was like, yes. Like, this is how I like it. Like, for us, we go fishing. And so we get, like, catfish, flounder, tilapia, you know, whatever's in the area. So for us, it was kind of like that. Like, you getting it fresh like that. You know how you fish early in the morning, you catch it. Well, I don't skin it. You know, I let Pawpaw do that. Roderick's daddy, my niece called him Pawpaw. I let Pawpaw handle the scaling and all that stuff. So he scales it down and all that stuff, and we fry it. Yeah. And it's like that way. But, you know, it's like fresh out the water, and there's nothing in the world like it. It's, I can't describe it, but it's like, especially if you love seafood, I love any type of food.
But you know the difference when it's fresh and when it's frozen.
Right.
You know the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
But I got family members, Montores, they can tell the difference between sea water and fresh water. Fish.
See.
Like, cause a lot of my family eats so much seafood that they be like, they taste that, be like, that was in the ocean. I'm like, in the ocean, they was like, I could just tell it. I was like, well, it don't matter to me. It's good.
Whatever, it's good. It's good.
Right? But their taste buds are so refined that they can kind of tell like that type of stuff. You were saying that you were in the Navy. Had your Navy traveling affected the way you smoked?
No, because before I was in the Navy, I hadn't really smoked any wood or meat. I was eating a lot of it. But, you know, I was doing it myself.
Okay.
And what woke me up, I came home from the Navy, and we had this family reunion type of thing in Atlanta. And they put me in charge of the pit. Like, I just all out of nowhere. They're like, oh, he Texas, put him on the pit. Like, damn, hold on. I ain't done this yet.
Right.
But once I did it and it came out right, it's like, man, okay, because I enjoyed the process, and that's the biggest part of it, man, is enjoying the process. And once they came out right, and people were like, man, this is good. I'm like, man, I need to get me a pit and like do this for real,
right?
And so, yeah, the Navy made me appreciate it more.
Okay, because
I was stationed in California, stationed up in Maine, Hawaii. So I wasn't where I was nowhere near anybody's real barbecue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Hawaii is big into that stuff.
You know, so I was kind of away from like anything Southern for a long time.
Okay.
Which was a gift and a curse. I mean, we can talk about that later, but you know, that's when the South got real popular.
Oh. And
so, as soon as I said something, I'm like, oh no, look at him. You know, but ain't got nothing to do with no food.
But what more I think about it is because, like you said, you didn't get to go out and like actually eat like the different types of foods when you're out and about. So I guess I'm assuming that it's a little different. You said it makes you appreciate, it makes you miss home, but you also get introduced to new types of food.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Like I was stationed in Maine and I had never had a lobster before.
Ah, and I've never had a whole lobster either.
That's lobster capital.
Country. Yeah, it is.
And to me, just look like a big old ass crawfish. My country, yeah, big old ass crawfish. But you know, that's not accurate. It's not accurate.
So,
you know, I enjoyed it though. I was like, man, this is cool.
I've had lobster in like sushi and all that stuff, but I've never actually, you know, where they go, you get it at tank.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
They were all about it up there. And like you say, you can taste the difference when it's fresh and when it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were up there, all that stuff was fresh out of the water on us. And so that part was lovely. Hawaii, mahi-mahi. I had mahi-mahi out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's some delicious fish.
Hey, I didn't know no better. Mm-hmm. I just liked the name. And I said, yeah, let me try it.
You know what? That's what happened to me. We went to the one place one time. And I was like, what's this, a mahi-mahi? And I had a mahi-mahi BLT. When I tell you that was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Honey, I would try anything. They had like a piece of fish. They had like some kind of fancy lettuce with a tomato and that real thick cut bacon on some bread. Thick cut country bacon?
Yeah.
And they had some kind of, you know, spicy mayo or something on. I tell people, y'all just don't know. I be trying all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well. Oh, I've seen what y'all post, and you are definitely all over the globe on your food. That is the truth.
You know, and that's one thing about me that I think there's, because, you know, Montoya's growing down in the South, I think Roger got me out of the habit, because as a growing up, if it was a fish, chicken, hot dogs, hamburgers, or something I could pronounce, I wasn't trying it at all. Right. I didn't try. I was no Chinese food, no nothing, no fried, no. The only way I had eggs was hard boiled and scrambled. I didn't learn about poached eggs. I never had a hard boiled egg, not hard, but over hard, over easy. I never tried sunny side up, any of that, until I got outside the house. And I remember when me and Roderick was younger, we used to go to Chinese place, and I used to, you know how they had like the chicken wings and you know the beef and broccoli, rice. Right, stuff that I knew what it was, and he would be like, I'm not paying $9.95 for you to eat what you could have got at the house. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah. It kind of broke me out of the habit of just picking what I was familiar with. And ever since then, I've had squid, I've had lobster, like I said, I had crawfish, I've had, what was it, we had a pig, pig knuckles, we've had, it was delicious, we went to this one place here, and that's what they known for, that turned funny, because you know, we down South, yeah, it is, it's pure country, for people up north, what the hell is that, it's pure country, I'm assuming, I don't know what the knuckle of a pig is, but whatever it is, we had some, and it was delicious, they take it, they batter it, they fried it, and we ate it, and it was delicious, that's definitely a Southern thing,
doggone Skippy.
Right, and so, like I say,
now
I haven't had frog legs. Next time I see frog legs on somebody's menu, I'm gonna try that.
Yeah.
Tastes
like chicken. That's what they say.
That's what a lot of people say. Chicken. I've never had a rabbit. A lot of people say that that's delicious.
Yeah, I done had a little rabbit.
I'm gonna try rabbit.
Little squirrel.
I've never had squirrel either.
Little possum.
Never had that either.
I ain't gonna go out my way to eat none of that now. I mean, you know, I've had it, and it's like, man, This is the joke I always tell my partners and my family. Like when we get together for a holiday or something, they always want to have it, the squirrel, the chitlins, the possum, the pig foot, all that. I'd be like, you know what, hey man, Massa let us off the plantation a long time ago.
We can leave this place.
I don't have to eat that. Right. I'm gonna get a pork chop. Can I get a pork chop?
Right. Don't y'all know we's free? We's free,
yeah,
y'all.
We's free now. You know, even though it happened a little later here in Texas, well, we still free.
Right. We like, might have been slow, man, but we're free.
Can I go get a steak? Why I gotta go eat the pig tongue?
Right. Now, I've never had the pig tongue. I've had chitlins before, and that's because that's a Southern thing, and because I was never a picky eater as a child. So,
my mama used to run us out the house. She cleans some chitlins.
Oh, my mama would do it all outside, because if you never had, it smells
tore up the
terrible.
Whole house.
No, my mama, she was like, my house ain't smell like shit. So she would like clean it and she would
she
do
was
the process.
Cleaning that shit in the sink.
All outside. She was, my mama, that was her pet peeve. She was like, I do not want my house smell like that bullshit. So she would do it all outside. She would clean it. She would get her big old pot, a big old, like a tub, and she would just do the whole process outside because she was like, your house will stink forever.
She right. She did it right. My mama didn't. She cleaned that right in the sink in the kitchen. Mm. And I laugh. I laugh at my daughter now because she'll eat some chitlins. Mm-mm. And I'm like, man, look at you eating that. My dad used to call it end food for nigger food. You eating that on end food? Yeah. She eating it. I ain't eating it.
No, because once I got older and somebody told me what it was, I was like, oh, that's what that is. No, thank you. But I didn't know because my mama sat in the front of me and I ate. But, like, I've also, have you had bison?
Yeah.
Yes, I had a bison burger.
They had that a lot down here.
One of the best burgers.
You can go to a handful of spots, man, get you a little buffalo burger and be like, ain't nothing to it.
Right.
And they say that's healthier than, like, a turkey burger.
It's leaner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's leaner.
And I'm a burger dude. I had this thing I call Hamburger Saturday. And, every Saturday I go to me a nice spot to get me a nice juicy hamburger. And so, yeah, I know a couple spots around town that you get you that bison burger.
Yeah, like I said.
And it's right.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I, right up my alley. I'm all about that. Have you ever had stuffed French toast?
No, stuffed French toast.
Yes.
What they stuff it with?
Whatever you want it. I've had it with
okay.
Strawberries. One of my favorite ones. I like to do the stuffed French toast where you do the French toast, and they stuff it with peanut butter and bananas.
That's cause your ass country.
right. and I like them for them to take what you call the little kisses and put the kisses in it and let it melt all together. Yes, this right up my alley.
Peanut butter and banana.
Right, stuffed French toast. I'm trying to tell you.
Take some country shit.
Get your life.
Get your life.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to make it. I don't know how they do it. I know how to make regular ass French toast.
I done messed up a few sets of French toast. I messed up half a loaf of bread trying to make French toast right.
But, what did you do?
I think I soaked it too much or something. It started falling apart.
What I realized about French toast ain't... You probably need to get like a, you know how you go and they have like the loaves of bread that they have on sale sometimes?
Uh-huh.
Get the loaves of bread that the bread person got to chop up.
Okay.
Because, the older the bread is, the better.
Because it holds
right, a little harder. Right, it holds it better. Like a lot of people try to do it with fresh bread, and fresh bread is
fresh
soft.
Fresh bread is flimsy.
Right, so a lot of times I do when they have like the long baguettes, whatever you call them, on sale, I buy those, and either I chop it, if I'm lazy, I give it to the bread lady and have her chop it kind of thick.
Okay.
And that way you can let it soak a little longer, like in your batter.
That sounds like a champ.
You know what I mean? Let it soak a little longer and make it a little thicker. Because a lot of people like it thin, but the thicker you make it, the longer you can soak it, and B, it can take the heat a little bit more.
Yeah, and it tastes better, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. When you got that thick bread.
I like.
Man, you just learned me something. Hey, that'll work.
I like to do mine with Texas toast. And let me tell you, the best kind I've had is potato bread. Oh,
potato bread.
My God.
Yes, I've had that.
First time I had potato bread, I lost my mind. I was looking like, bread tastes like this?
I didn't know
like
that was a thing.
What? I didn't know this. I was like, bread tastes like this? I was talking to everybody. You know how little kids, when they find out something new for the first time, and they telling everybody. Yeah. I was like, did you know bread tastes like this? You know bread tastes like this?
Yeah, I was unfamiliar. I had potato bread, and it was so nice. It was thick around the edges, but it was nice in that middle. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, what is this?
Right.
Why am I just now figuring out about this one?
Right.
Yeah.
I did that first time I had potato bread. I did that the first time I ever had a medium steak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I cried. I was like, oh my God, y'all, I ain't got to smother it enough. I could bite it with, you know, I can
make it. That bad boy right out the gate.
Right. And I think that's a black thing, but when I tell y'all, Negroes, please quit burning your meat.
Because we want it cooked.
Right,
like,
but
I
remember
I had my boy, he ain't been out the hood in forever. So I call myself trying to show him something. And the waiter came out and said, how do you want your steak? I want it cooked. I want it cooked. Acting all black. I'm like, dog. No.
They going to look at you like you ain't got no home training. You probably make the chef mad because you know the chef.
Yeah, you make the chef mad. They want to make it right. They want to just sear it and then have you eat it.
Right. But like this, a $40, $50 piece of meat. You done fried it to a pulp.
Yeah.
No.
Now it's nothing. But yeah, I had, don't get me wrong, because I was like that for a minute.
Me too, for a very long time.
I had to figure that out. Once you, you know, I don't want it bleeding, but I want it red.
Right,
you know, in the middle.
Yeah, a lot of people like it pink, like pink in the middle.
There you go,
where, put it like this, it's... Because when you look at it, where it's brown on the outside, but brown in the inside just a little bit, where the inside is pink. Like, I can deal with the running, but I know a lot of people don't like it like that. Yeah. Like I don't like it rare, but I like it one step above rare, where it's done, but it's not dry. Because I've got to the point now, excuse me, I'm like the white folks. Don't give me no tough piece of meat.
There it is.
Then white folks look at you crazy. You come in there with a well done steak. What you doing? That be like what you doing with this well?
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of a class thing. It's like, man, get out there and experience something,
right?
So you can know how it's supposed to go,
and so you won't be ignorant like me and going up in places and not knowing how to act.
I can't clown when I see other people do it because I'm like, man, I was the same way.
Right.
I do the same shit.
I'm gonna have to coach you out of this.
But, you know, I try to be like, you know, when I put them to the side, hey, dog, hey, this is how it's supposed to go, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, hey, man, you don't want it cooked. This ain't no hamburger, man. This is steak.
Right. And even with hamburgers, I do a medium.
I done got to that too.
Because the meat is softer. Like, and the biggest thing I do now, I went to this place and now I get my burgers with the fried egg on top.
Oh man, look.
Hey.
I've been on that a long time. I remember when you first said that.
That's the best shit ever.
I've been doing that for years. It happened in Vegas, of all places.
Mm.
I got kinfolk in Las Vegas. So we go to Las Vegas, and I go hang out with him. And we were out so late that he was like, man, let's go get a hangover burger. I mean, what's a hangover burger?
Right.
We went to that place, and they had the fried egg across the top of that burger. I had never had that. I was like 2 years out the Navy at this point. And so that's about 03. No. Yeah, 03. Right around 03. And, I've been into that burger and I was like, this is outstanding.
Right.
I don't know how I missed this.
Who would have ever thought about that? Right.
Hey, and ever since then, I started seeing restaurants, especially around Houston, they have the option of slapping that egg on that burger. Mm. And I'll never, if the place offers that, I'm getting that.
Me too. A lot of times it don't even come with, I'll be like, hey, add an egg, dog.
Add an egg, man. Put that egg on across that bun, man. Quit playing. Right.
Yeah. It's nothing like it. It's the best shit ever. And like I said, it's a combo that you, I guess if you're not used to it or you've never been introduced to it, you'd think that's a weird combo. But yeah, I'm trying ain't. To tell y'all, it's the best shit ever.
And man, especially to get you some bacon on. It's like having breakfast.
Right.
It's like
some bacon, lettuce, tomato. Like,
whoa, dog. Toast. You can't miss. You can't miss.
Toast your bread. You ain't saying nothing.
You gonna make, well, you making me hungry now.
I tell people, man, like, and me and Roger glass at me because I really love to eat. So a lot of times if I go somewhere and the food is like really, really, really good, mm-hmm. I'll start like humming or I'll start like swaying at the table. He looks at me like, what the hell wrong with you? I'm like, you just don't understand.
It makes you giddy. You get giddy when the food is good.
Yes, I was like, you don't understand the joy that is happening. The party that's in my mouth right now. I wish I could share this with the world.
Hey, I know that feeling. I done caught myself a few times. Like, No. I'm in public. Gotcha.
My feet started tapping.
Oh, the feet ain't gonna never stop tapping. Right. People don't see that part. So I just tap all day while I'm eating. But that's right.
Yes. That's right. Make you do the belly roll. I'm like, hey.
Hey, and whoever is in the restaurant seeing you doing that better be happy.
What?
That mean they stuff is right.
Man, and honey, it's been times where we went to this one place up in Charleston, and the man was like making the sushi. It sounded like a construction site. He pulled out the blowtorch. Psh,
psh, psh, psh. Oh, wow.
I mean, when I tell you, that was some of the best sushi ever. I told Roger, you better give that man a tip, because that man sound like he constructed that sushi from scratch.
Oh, man, look at that.
When I tell you, because I guess was what he do, he was like melting stuff across it and stuff like that. Yeah. And you could tell he was sweating because he was like making it, and it was some of the best sushi ever. And I looked at Roger, I said, if you don't give that man some money for breaking a sweat for making my food, that's our thing. But like, that's what we do. And the thing about it is that we're so pleasant that I think we shock a lot of people because we come in, we're very patient, we don't get ugly, we don't get nasty.
You do shock a lot of people.
And a lot of people are just amazed. And they're like, y'all so pleasant. And so how about, yeah, because we know how it is because we served before. So we know how it is to be on that particular side. So for us, it's just a joy. And like I said, because I like to eat, I tell everybody, if your food is good and your place is good, because see now, me and y'all have a large platform. Because it's been places we talked about where people have traveled through shop like, hey, we went to Cowfish. Or, hey, we went to Mavericks. Yeah. Like, these are some of our favorite places. The food there is excellent. We'll just talk about it, in passing. And people will tell us how they've tried it. So, you know, because of our love for food and they trust us. Like, let me tell you somebody else that know about eating is Deidre from Where's My 40 Acres.
Yeah.
Honey, because she used to live in Charleston.
Yeah.
So when we went, I asked her, I said, give me a list of restaurants. And everything she suggested
was right.
I looked at her, I said, Deidre, because she's in Atlanta now, I said, I got to come visit you and eat with you, because I know one thing. Honey, you know how to eat. And if you can eat, I'm going to hang with you, because you know what a good shit is.
It is. Well, I'm going to tell you once again, when them Texans play them Panthers, I'm coming out there, and you know, if y'all don't catch up with me or not, y'all going to know I was there. And
let
I promise
know.
You. Y'all, man, like, hey, man, tell me something, because I'm out here.
We have all kinds of good things. Where do you get your ideas for your meals, like, to make your meals, prepare your meals, or is it something random that you do?
It's really from my dad. You know, we keep it simple, mostly. You know, brisket, ribs, chicken, sausage. Now, sausage is a whole nother story. We'd have to do a whole nother show.
On sausage? Do you make yours from scratch?
I don't make mine from scratch, but I go to people that do it from scratch.
Oh, yeah. And go get it from them.
And so people will come through like Eckridge Farms or something. I'm like, man, really? You brought that shit over here? You know me better than that. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, I make sure this shit was made in Texas somewhere, okay. Louisiana somewhere.
So you get it where it has a casing on it. Like the Yeah, where they grind their meat in.
Casing, boudin. I want my boudin to be authentic.
What's a boudin?
I don't want nobody, you know, from Chicago trying to make my sausage and boudin. It's that bullshit. And that's not the clown Chicago in them. It's like, man, look, man, if I want a nice hot dog or pizza, I go up there. I don't want my boudin sausage to come from up there.
What kind of sausage is that?
Which one?
The boudin.
Okay. Ooh, I'm glad you asked. Boudin. Boudin is really nothing but like rice and liver.
Hmm.
Right. Encased in a sausage wrap.
Ooh.
It's a Gulf Coast thing. People, you know, you can put chicken in it. You can put, like beef in it, sausage, pork in it. But it's sausage, but it got rice and, you know, other mixtures in it. And it looked just like sausage, except it's lighter. It's lighter because it ain't all just meat. So boudin is really a Louisiana thing, but being from Houston, like we sitting right next to them.
Right.
We get a lot of that. We get a lot of that anyway. So, baby, look at it. It's boudin, I think is how you spell it.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure anybody across South gonna get it. Y'all know you come across somebody got it up there.
Okay, because I've never heard it before, so I'm pretty sure.
And usually how we eat it, you can eat it because it's just like sausage. It's got that skin on it.
Yeah.
So you can eat it like sausage, or you can cut that skin and eat it with a fork and some crackers. So Yeah. Find out about some boudin. I'm pretty sure they up there and they got it. Just wait for somebody to say, hey, check us out.
I'm going to have to do that. But let me tell you something that I do. Because I like the sausage. Because we go to Harris Teeter. And so a lot of their sausage is day made.
I hear y'all talk about that. I'm so jealous.
Harris Teeter is one of the best grocery stores ever.
I'm so jealous when y'all talk about Harris Teeter.
You're going to have to come down here and see Mr. Teeter. I love Harris Teeter. I call him Mr. Teeter. So their sausage is made from scratch. Yep. That's how I know about the casing. So a lot of times what I do is with the casing, especially if it's some casing that I like, a lot of times I'll take them, bust it open, dig the inside of it out, and I make hamburgers, I'll make meatloaf. Because see, the meat is already there. It's already there. It's already flavored. So a lot of times I buy some and I'll cut them and I'll just squeeze it out of the casing. And I mix it with sausage, mix it with turkey meat or whatever, and make hamburgers or make meatloaf. Because they already season it. All jokes, like you can add extra seasoning to it. But, cause most people, they take them and they fry them and they're delicious. So you know what's inside of it is good. But I've learned to take it. Cause I thought about that one day. I said, I wonder if I could split this open. I sure did. I split it open. I made spaghetti out of it. And
you
all
know what the
of
case
stuff.
Is made of, right?
What?
Chitlins.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found that out like recently.
I didn't know that.
I thought I was avoiding chitlins. And here I am, you know, they making the casing
like
out of that shit.
It's like this. It's so thin, it's good. Like I told people, I've eaten so much stuff. I'm pretty sure I probably ate dog, cat, and all kinds of stuff in my Chinese food. I don't even care.
Fluffy
was wonderful in that sesame chicken. He was delicious in that beef and broccoli. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell y'all. He was good. If he's in there, I ain't died yet.
Right on. You still living, right?
Right. That's how I look at it.
If it didn't kill you, you just kept living.
Right.
There it is.
But like this, if you eat fast food, you can't be picky because ain't no telling what happened. You know, because at the back of the house, So, like I said, that's okay. Yeah. But I could deal with a thin slice in the chitlins. But I'm talking about your whole plate is like chitlin and rice with hot sauce. Yeah. That's a whole other thing.
And all they want you to do is put hot sauce on it and eat it. Like, no, baby, the hot sauce ain't just gonna cover this up. That ain't it.
No, it's not. It's not. My brother-in-law's girlfriend is white, and she is the sweetest thing ever. She's Italian. And the first time she met up with, like, his side of the family, that met all us, was at a Christmas function. And she was all excited. She was like, oh, I'm going to try me some chitlins.
Oh, no.
And I looked at her.
She took that plunge that early?
Right. I looked at her on my tours. I said, hey. This is before they got married. I said, it's nasty. I tried to warn her. I was like, Morgan.
You tried to be the good Samaritan, and she didn't want to hear that.
I didn't want to see her go down with the ship. I was like, I know they bragging about it and they telling you it's good. Mm-mm. I was like, hey, she ate it. I was like, it ain't good.
That was a practical joke. They want to see that white girl eat them chicken.
Right? She was like, mm-mm, it didn't taste good at all. I was like, I tried to tell you. I was like, I'm a good one. I wouldn't lie to you.
Hey, you was in her corner from Jump Street. She gonna remember that.
Right. I was like, you talking to these other Negroes over here. It's good, girl. If you don't come from the culture, I'm not trying to be fun. That's one of the things. But if you don't come from the culture, and the thing is, let me tell you something else that they do, especially up north. They taking chitlins, doing all this fancy smancy stuff for it, charging them people $50 a plate, and I'm looking like you can get four buckets of chitlins down here for $50.
That's true.
I was like, y'all, all y'all doing is eating. Y'all paying $50 for 3 strings of chitlins. You can come down here and get all the chitlins you want.
That's what's going on with oxtails right now. Oxtails up north is like a delicacy. Well, for us, it was the scraps.
Right. Oxtail is delicious, though. It's
and,
very...
Oh, we'll hook some oxtails up. But up there now, it's like expensive to get them. Right. And it's starting to make it expensive down here to get them.
Because they raising the price. Yes.
Yeah. I don't appreciate it. I'm like, man, come on, dog. Y'all didn't even like this shit a few years ago. Now you gonna charge me an arm and a leg?
And let me tell you something else that's funny. This is just a culture thing. Like, they're actually bringing ribs up north. I know this might sound silly, but because, you know, ribs isn't a part of, because they're more of pastrami's and sandwich meat and pizza and you know, pasta. So a lot of the southern food for a lot of those people have never, especially if they're born and raised up there, they haven't really trucked down here. So a lot of like brisket and a lot of ribs and things are starting to go up there. And they were saying that whenever they bring meat out to the people, they say they have to tell them that it's done. Because, you know, when you eat like ribs and stuff, it's pink. But it's done, though. But the meat is just going to stay pink. Like, they have to tell them it's done. Don't send it back. Because you send it back, you're going to fry. You're going to cook the hell out of
mess it. Mess it up.
Right. And it's just a lack of not understanding. Like, for me, if I go up there, I wouldn't know what the hell a pastrami was and how to order it or nothing like that. So I think it's a cultural thing. But it's just funny how a lot of the foods that we eat all the time are going up there. And like you say, because they'll pay more, you hiking the prices up for me.
Yeah, it's killing me. And I'm just glad I know some hood spots, you know, where I go get it right.
Right.
Because the price is trickling back down this way. It's like, man, why oxtail so much now? And they wasn't that much so much before. Right. I don't know.
Right. And that's just something to go with the territory. What is the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
Squid. And that's my new wife. I just married her ass. That's her fault.
Squid is delicious. It could be it could be rubbery if not cooked properly, but it's delicious.
I tell you what, I was mad when I tasted it. Because I was like, man,
you wasn't ready.
It was rubbery. I must have chewed on it like gum for like, you know, a few minutes. Like, man, what in the hell did you just have me eat? And what happened was we were dating and she was mad at me for something. So she ordered up the bar at the sushi bar.
Mm-hmm.
And she ordered all kind of sushi. And I'm eating all kind of rolls and spring rolls. Mm-hmm. Just them all.
That's right up my alley.
And I'm not a sushi guy. So, you know, I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I ate one of them. I'm like, okay, this ain't right. This ain't right. What is this? And she told me, she's like, you know what, man, I slammed my hand down. I'm like, okay.
He slammed your ham sandwich like, no.
You made your point. I fucked up. I'm gonna fix it. But this here, the way you did this, this is wrong.
Right.
And so that's the most exotic thing I've ever eaten.
I think for me, I love squid. I like calamari, which is squid, and they just take it and they fry it.
That's what it was calamari.
And the thing about it is that you have to get that at the right spots, because a lot of people, when they do it, they make it too thick. So when they fry it, the calamari is thick. So when you bite into it, it's very chewy and almost rubbery tasting. If they do it right, it should be like a clean. I mean, you still gonna get some chewiness out of it, but not where it tastes like rubber. I tell people, like, if you're not a sushi fan and don't know much about sushi, these are my rules. Number one, start off with vegetable rolls. You can get them with straight vegetables. You can get it with shrimp, and you can get it with chicken.
Hey, this is where I gotta commend you, because I felt like black folks getting on the sushi was a fad. And I felt like, you know, a lot of y'all talking about y'all like sushi. Y'all don't like sushi. Y'all like it because it sounds cool to say. But you, my friend,
I
see you shaking your head. That's what I'm saying. You proved me wrong on that, because you are so serious about it. And so even if the other ones are still fake, that I might think are fake.
Right.
You ain't fake.
Oh, no. And
I gotta hand it to you, because I think a lot of us got onto a fad that was cool for a minute.
Right.
And kind
of
really
got
like
off of it. Yeah. But because.
Didn't really like it.
Because I'm going to
tell you. The way I see you talk about it, I know you dig it. I ain't got nothing but praise.
Like,
I can't say nothing about it.
I'm going to tell you right now. It took Roger 5 years to convince me to ever eat sushi.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we fish. So I was like, I'm not eating no shit that we go out there and we fish at the pond. Like that's where my mind was going. And before I ever ate it, I did research.
Right.
A, sushi is farm raised, so it's controlled. They control what it eats. They can the temperature of the water. Everything is controlled. And when they take the fish, they actually freeze it to some ridiculous level where they freeze it where no bacteria or anything will grow on it. That's why a lot of times it's particular about the temperature of the sushi when they have them in the restaurants, because once it gets above a certain temperature, bacteria will grow on it. So they keep it down really, really, really low, and that's why most times sushi is cold.
You got your stuff from a reputable spot, apparently, and you know your shit. And so I ain't got nothing but praise for that.
And that's
I can't say nothing bad about that.
And that's because I've had good sushi and I've had bad sushi. Like, I've had my share of sushis. Like, it's this place called Cowfish. And I tell anybody, if you ever come here, Montours, go to it. They have barbecue sushi, where the sushi is made out of barbecue. They got hamburger sushi, where
Cowfish
it's made out of hamburger.
Cowfish owe y'all some money. Because I've heard y'all say Cowfish a million times in the last year.
It's delicious.
They owe y'all money.
They got one in Raleigh.
They sponsoring the fucking show. Matter of fact, just saying. I've been familiar with it since y'all ever talked about it.
And
there it is. Y'all might want to hit their marketing department up and figuring that stuff out.
It is delicious. Are you still there? Did I lose you?
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, I seen it went up. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's me messing stuff up.
Oh no problem.
Nah, we good.
What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Ooh, that's a good question. Waffles. Well, I don't ever make a waffle. I got lucky enough to meet a woman that does.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
She make a waffle like a champ. But before that, I had to go find me one. And so, yeah, I like waffles, especially with bacon bits in them.
Mm-hmm. Have you had it with bananas?
Yeah.
Made in the waffle?
Yeah. It's a little mushy. It works, though. It works. Hey, well, anyway, if y'all bring y'all ass to Houston one time, man, I would love to give y'all a grand tour, man. Cause we'll eat like kings and queens for days. just saying. Like, you know, I know, you know, it's work to get around and get away and do all that.
Oh, you got to travel around shop. So we used to traveling, yeah. So yeah. We used to be in having a vehicle. Waffles, yeah, because I'm a waffle fan.
It's plenty of places to get a good waffle around here. So all I'm saying is, you know, with sushi too. Shit, bring y'all ass on down, man.
Right, that's right, because y'all near the coast, yeah.
Honey. We right near the water. And yeah, all that shit come up here fresh. Yes.
Yeah, we gotta do that. What's your favorite thing to eat that you do make?
My favorite thing that I make? Oh, man, let's see here. I mean, I'm a burger guy.
Okay.
From top to bottom, but I don't make burgers that much. Mm. So it would have to be ribs. It had to be ribs. Because I make ribs pretty often, and I get requested to do that a lot. You know, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, she be like, man, when we gonna get some more ribs? Like, shit, I didn't know you liked them that much, but okay. So I think ribs.
Okay, cool. What is something that you love so much that you don't share? You stash, you be like, this is mine, and I'm not sharing.
M&M's, no question. M&M's. I like my Nims. I don't want nobody else touching my Nims.
That's my favorite candy too. I hide them. Did you freeze them?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I understand. No, I don't take it personal because that's what I do with mine. I take mine. As soon as I get them in the house, I throw them in the freezer.
That's one thing I say about my wife. She put them bad boys in the freezer and then tell me, you got M&M's in the freezer.
Oh,
dog won't skip you.
That's some love.
Anyway. Aww. Yeah, so M&M's in the freezer. Ah, game over. That and some liquor. Whiskey.
Game over. And while you're speaking about whiskey, what's your favorite thing to drink? Alcoholic and non-alcoholic.
Okay, non-alcoholic. Water.
Okay.
Only because it helps me to drink whiskey.
That's true.
So, you know, it just recently hit me. We were watching the game this Sunday, and I've had my moments where I've drunk too much whiskey, and I was in a place where I shouldn't have been. But once I started drinking water with it, it balanced out a little bit, so I could feel a buzz and not still be like fucked up where I'm still cognizant
of what's happening. Cause but I just talking to people that like party hard. A lot of them say for every item of like beer or whiskey, you drink 8 ounces of water.
Dang.
Like then they say you drink another one, and they say
I just found that out last week.
Yeah, they say you drink water right behind it because mm-hmm. they say a lot of times it helps flush it out your system, and that way you get a buzz without actually getting like smashed, because if it's just straight alcohol in your system, you're going to respond a little differently versus if you balance it out with water.
So there it is. So it what keeps I would you prefer hydrated. To do. I'll drink I take a shot of Maker's Mark or Knob Creek.
Ooh.
Maker's Mark or Knob Creek.
I like that Maker's Mark.
Follow it with a can or a bottle of Shinerbach. And then hit that with like a half a bottle of water. Get your ass in the mold. They put you right there. And I just learned that last week. And so that's what I do now. So it's Maker's Mark, Shinerbach, water.
Ooh, that sounds good. I know for me, something that I just found out, I like whiskey, but I'm a sweet tooth girl. So that's why I like the beer you see me drink. I like bright beers. I don't like them dark because when they're dark, they get very bitter to me. So I like dark stuff. So I had some apple juice, and I had me some hot cinnamon whiskey, and put it with that apple juice.
Hot cinnamon whiskey.
Son, it was everything. I've never heard of that.
That's a new one on me.
Never heard of that in my life. And so some people are saying warm it up. So next time I do it, I'm going to actually heat it. I had it cold on ice, which was delicious. But next time I'm going to heat it, kind of make it like a cider.
Warm it up. Mm-hmm. Hot cinnamon whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
That's right at my alley.
I can't wait till we cross paths and we can just like match drink for drink, see what works better. That'll be straight.
I try all kinds of stuff. I think I tried, we had Coke and I had some, cherry moonshine. So I had some cherry Coke moonshine. So, cause I had like the Coke and then the moonshine was cherry. Man. And I took the, you know, the cherries at the bottom of the moonshine and dropped it in there. Oh, when I tell you that was delicious, that was delicious.
I tell you this, we got a few liquor stores around here with mason jars full of moonshine, and most of them come from South Carolina, North Carolina.
Right, because that's what we known for. Like, yeah. I don't think people better
realize.
So
I go in the liquor store, like, man, we got this new moonshine coming from North Carolina. I'm like, well, look at this. First off, I mean, it's a marketing ploy. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Because if it was real shine,
yeah, no,
that shit would come up in the store. It wouldn't be in the store.
No, it's, but like this, it's legalized moonshine, but it ain't no real, but like this. But like, if you go deep enough in the woods of North Carolina, you can find real moonshiners. Yeah. But you know, being able to pick it up from the store, you're not getting the real moonshine.
Yeah, like, well, you know, they trying to market it like that.
It's close.
I know better.
It's close enough. But like this, it's close enough where you buy, go, okay, I ain't going to jail for this one. I can enjoy this, and ain't nobody, want. Nobody going.
You don't want to get arrested,
right? Ain't nobody gonna kick down my door.
Yeah, but yeah, I've seen them in the store, and I done bought some up out of there. Peach,
right?
Peach, little moonshine,
peach, strawberry, blueberry.
Yeah, I'm like, look at this. And I'm not even a fruity drink guy. You know, I call myself a drinker because, you know, it was the Navy's fault.
No. It's the Navy's fault.
It's the Navy. I'm all my bad aspects of my personality, I'm blaming on the Navy. Cause I was like a Tutti Fruit Shoes dude. I was so like square. Then I joined the Navy and I became an alcoholic and a womanizer. Like,
look, you doing it all, ain't you?
I wasn't this guy before I left. You know.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, let's get past that.
He said that's a whole other story.
Yeah, like big dog.
What's the worst thing? Let me see. No. Hold on. I think I asked you that. I think I did. Oh, I haven't. What's the worst thing that you ever ate or cooked? Like you ate it and you was like, "This is terrible."
Let's see. It was a bad batch of ribs. Matter of fact.
Okay.
They were cheap. So they've been old is what it was. Like when you go buy, you gotta watch them grocery stores and all that.
Right, when they put that stuff on sale. Meat is supposed to be red for, it ain't called red meat just because. It's supposed to be red.
Say that, and you can say that again. Cause that shit was wrong. And I bought it cause it was cheap. Right. And I slapped it on the pit and it burned up fast. And like when regular ribs wouldn't burn like that, they did. And I was like, man, that shit didn't work right. Mm-mm. Then I tried to taste it, and I was like, hmm.
It was
ribs that were outdated.
Okay.
They were outdated ribs, and I was like, you know what, man? I'm not gonna sacrifice the price.
Right. You know,
just you know, so I can barbecue some shit. If I can't afford it, then I'm gonna sit back and wait for the next round.
Right. I don't blame
you. Ask for that.
And that's what you pick. What's the worst thing like somebody's ever made for you?
Oh, potato salad.
What the hell did they do to the potato salad? Nah, I ain't gonna lie. I've seen some nasty potato salad. Like
potato salad.
You know what? And I can deal it. But like this, I've had good yellow potato salad. I've had good white potato salad. Like the color don't make a difference to me. It's more of sometimes what's in the potato salad that can make it nasty.
Yeah, I done had somebody who half-assed it. I don't know if they stole bought it, if it was bought from the store, or whatever they did, it wasn't right. And I was like, man, I can't give you a pass for this one. That was terrible. And I don't want your potato salad no more. And so, yeah, that was the worst thing, because everything else was right. And so it's like, you got this high-quality, you know, regular stuff. And then you get to this tater salad. You know, tater salad is really like the buffer when you're eating.
Right.
It's like you got your meat, this, that. And the tater salad is supposed to be there to just hold up the fence and hold down the plate when you're eating. And the tater salad was shabby. I'm like, man, what is this?
Right.
And I didn't call them out, but I just remember like, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Right. And like my mama, she makes the best potato salad. She's older now. See? So she can't do it like she used to. So
everybody mama made the best potato salad.
Right. Depending on who you ask. And
it ain't your peers. It'll be your mama.
Right.
I don't want nobody my age making it. I want somebody who got grandkids eat making it.
Not unless your grandmama taught you.
Yeah.
I've seen people my age that can make the best stuffing, but see, they like their grandmama and great grandma, like they sat around and like they showed them the process. I can deal with that because I know you learn how to do it right. Because like for me, my mama, she is 70, 74, 75 now. And she's not able like to peel the potatoes and things like that. So my goal, and when I get a chance, my goal is to, before she passed, is to go down there, ask her how to make potato salad, how to make her dressing. Like it, because the thing I tell people, I say, y'all better realize, when mama dies, all these recipes are going to die with her. I mean, because, you know,
they better learn them now.
Right, because, you know, they old school, so my mama don't handwrite nothing. So I'm going to have to go down there. You know, I'm kind of newer school, so I'm going to have to, you know, bring all my salt, peppers, you know, my fourth of a cups, all my, you know, measuring utensils, and go down there and kind of measure things out.
I would suggest that y'all figure that out, because my grandmother, I don't know if she kind of seeing it coming or what, but... sweet potato pie.
Right. Egg custard.
Peach cobbler. Mm-hmm. Pecan pie.
All that stuff.
She wrote her shit down and gave it to me like 2 years ago. And it felt funny because I felt like she was passing it on for a reason.
Right.
And
so hold
I don't
want to
see
that.
It go.
Right.
But I think she knows that it ain't too far. And you better carry the torch.
Right. And especially, not trying to be funny, especially with you having a love for food. Like not trying to be funny. Because you have to think about it. It's almost an honor because she goes, you love food and you love feeding people as much as I did.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that. And gives you an idea when you out there doing your barbecue and you can take some of her recipes and have desserts with it.
Fucking right. And so when I open my restaurant, because you done told me to do it.
Oh.
When I open my restaurant,
it's coming.
And I'm had a brisket and the ribs smoking in the back. I'm had the peach cobbler getting rolled out, and all that and ribs shit. Man, look. Oh, you gonna get a shout out on the menu because it wasn't till we did this little podcast that I thought to myself like, man,
your love for food, like because I love food, and when I talk to people that love food as much as I do, like I can't explain it. It's something inside them that just lights up, or just that joy or that happiness, like when you eat your favorite meal, or just. Your eyes, the way you look, is just one of those things when you go, like you really, really love food. Not only that, you love the way food is prepared.
Preparation. I like that more than anything, actually.
Right.
Preparation.
And if you care about that, you care about the food. Because a lot of people, they just throw stuff together, but they fail to realize the preparation is the bulk of the process. Because if that's not done right, the food's not going to be good. And
I tell
people, you can tell when food is not made with love. And people can say what they want to say about that, but when somebody prepares food and it's like literally like they sprinkled their heart across it, when you eat it, you can tell that they did it with love.
That's right.
You can tell what they didn't do.
Yeah, you know when they throwing it together, man. No, you throwed it. No, sir. I pass.
Right. That's how you feel. I pass on this one. I'm good.
That's right. Well, shit, man, look here. I got to get back to my people over here. They look like they waiting on me to come out and have something to say.
They was like, come on over. You got something to say.
You know, so, especially, I'm freshly married.
Gotta spend time with your honey boo. That's not a problem to get kissy, huggy.
All that's there.
I ain't mad at you. So before I let you go, tell the people how to get in contact with you again.
Hey, what's up, y'all, man? It's your boy Montoya's, man. Montoya's K on Twitter. I'm on Google Plus. Man, my name, I don't know. I think it's not regular. So, you ain't gonna meet a black Montoya's nowhere else. And, Facebook, Montoya's. Holler at us, beatingtheblock.com. Listen to the show. You know, I'm probably the dude you're gonna disagree with the most. that's usually how it works out. And but I still got sense, man. So y'all holler at your boy, man. Beatingtheblock.com, Montoya's K on Twitter, Montoya's Knots. I don't care about y'all knowing my full government because, you know, whatever. You ain't gonna hurt me. Well, there it is. Good deal.
Thank you. So if you're hearing him for the first time, y'all please go check him out. Show him love. Let him know that y'all heard about him on the show. And for everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Land, thank you for listening to another episode of Lip Smacking Good.
And I am a part of the Premium Land because I get the emails every month.
Yeah.
They hit me. Hey, I sent my money. They're fucking right. I'm supporting the black damn business.
Thank you, sweetie.
Then my kinfolk, even though I ain't met them face to face.
Yeah, you my kinfolk too. And when you open up that restaurant, I'm definitely gonna be down there to eat. My ass gonna be down. Gonna be down eating at the table.
Come on down, y'all prosper.
Yeah.
I want to see y'all make it big in the motherfucker.
Oh.
And I want to see everybody be like waking up to the. I want to see you like on a night show like. Yeah, we got Rod Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips on Jimmy Fallon and some shit like that.
Yeah.
I want to see it happen because I think it's possible and I'm going to forever put my money into that.
Honey, yeah. And they're going to be like, who doing your catering service? I'm like, Montorious K.
Fucking right. Put me on the mix.
That's who doing all this catering for y'all. I'm calling it already.
There it is. I'm glad you said it because now I'm going to be saying it forever.
Right. Until it comes to pass, I know it's so. And not only us, everybody else in Black Guy Who Tip Land, y'all hear him, right? Y'all hear him. So
y'all hear me. I'm cool with y'all.
Yeah. So when he makes the announcement to Kevin on the show that he done got in the competition and he done won prizes and awards and he's in the process of writing up his proposal.
Shout out to my boy, Cyber Soldier, man. Y'all holler at him, man.
Oh, yeah.
He be on top of shit. He keep me on top of shit.
Yeah, Kevo is really cool. And so y'all go check them out. Them down south boys be doing their thing down there. They literally our country cousins. Like, we love them as much as they love us. Dog. Right? And one of these days, we will meet. I promise you.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
That's the truth. And I'm going to come see y'all before y'all see me, I think.
Oh, you probably will. We'll be down here working hard.
Cause y'all ass busy. So I don't even want y'all to get out your regular schedule. I just be like, hey, I'm here. Talk to me.
That's all you gotta do. Be like, hey, I'm here.
Get up here.
Yeah, just chill with us. Just chill with us. Cause we normal people. We don't bite. I tell people we don't bite. We normal people. We just like to enjoy everybody in their company. So for everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Land, I want to tell you thank you. I enjoyed you, Montorious. And everybody else. Till next time, peace out.
Peace out.